How long would you put it down to coincidence if your attic door kept opening by itself? If you're out and something chases you through the snow and you turn around to see only your footprints, would you ever go outside in the dark again? Would you stay in the house for much longer if the noises above your bed began to sound less like weather and more like someone moving around? What if the most terrifying thing in that house didn't happen while you were asleep, but while you were wide awake, alone, and you hear your name whispered in the dark? Exactly what would it take for a family to stop laughing off strange footsteps, slamming doors and flickering lights, and finally admit something was wrong? As always, we promise no answers to those questions. But we will do our very best to try and get at least some answers on episode 4 of this season's Dark Paranormal.
Live from Liverpool, The Dark Paranormal with Kevin Eustace.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 4 of The Dark Paranormal season 24. Now, for those of you with an astute ear, you will notice the sound is much better, and that's because finally we are back in the studio. And to say I'm happy we're back home, we're happy to give you the best audio we can possibly do so, is an understatement. Because all of these experiences deserve the best possible treatment I alone can do. And when I say I alone, I mean as in recording-wise at least. I certainly don't mean I alone in the world. That would be ridiculous. But the show operates with myself, recording, editing, etc., and my wonderful small team going through the emails to suggest the best ones. And speaking of picking out those experiences, they've delivered today's one. And what you're about to hear begins in a remote kind of place that should feel and actually be peaceful. Horses in fields, old barns, open sky, and the silence of country life. But behind that quiet waits something far darker, maybe older. Something that seems to approach through the land itself, to those unaware happy occupants, arriving to slowly turn their ordinary family life upside down. And so, it's my favourite time of the week, where I ask you please to lower the lights. Make yourself comfortable, and most importantly, leave your disbelief at the door, as we hear all about a true farmhouse nightmare. Hi Kevin, me and my boyfriend have been listening to your podcasts for around 2 years now. We take long road trips and listen to all of the recent ones from since we last listened. Ever since I've heard the stories you tell for others, I've been wanting to write my own, since I've never done so before. Please, please be patient, as the storyline may seem a bit chaotic. I just want to add a bit of a graphic warning to this. There are parts that gets rather gruesome involving a pet. This is Kev speaking now. I've read this story, and indeed there is. So if you are listening with little ones, I would suggest giving this episode a run through yourself before you decide it's suitable for younger ears. But I continue. Now, ever since I was younger, and my mother moved out of the house that my father owns, we have been avid renters. All across Alberta, we rent homes in small towns, but we were mostly drawn to this one small town in southern Alberta. Beautiful mountains and a lovely community. It was exactly March the 17th, 2021. We moved into a farmhouse just south of the town. I know this date exactly because I had pictures taken of the beautiful property. Now, before I get into any details, I do want to give some important back information first. The landlord that we had, well, he kept cattle on the property. That he took care of course, but also let us take care of it too. And as I loved animals, I would always accept the offer to help with anything needed. We had free range of the whole property. Now, this house had been in this gentleman's family for generations. He was an older man who lived there with his mum until she passed away. And then he took on fostering children after her passing. Very noble. It's always been an active family home. We knew some history, but we never asked many questions. The layout of the property is the old three-story house with an unfinished basement, main floor upstairs with three bedrooms, and then the attic, which I'll move on to later. Just south of the house was the old barn. It was still used, but it was falling apart piece by piece. East of the barn were three old sheds that still had some of his family's old stuff in there. Furniture, papers, clothing. Just basically items you would put into storage in order to not clutter the house. And surrounding was acres of field and pasture in every direction. Since it was such an old house, we even had a well on the property that supplied the water, and a burning barrel for any garbage we did not need to take to the dump. I was around 15 years old at the time I was living in this house. I have an older brother and two younger siblings. As we all know, it's a common thing for older siblings to scare and bug the younger ones. So, that's what we did. The first couple of weeks living there, it was all jokes. Turning lights off, locking them in the basement, and playing creepy music. Until it wasn't a joke anymore. My room was the bedroom with the attic attached. Now, normally, attic doors tend to be on the roof. However, mine was not. It was a regular door with a regular knob, but it was about half the size a regular door would be. And it started at the top half of the wall. It was a cute little door, I guess. I decorated it with a homemade wooden ladder and some of those fake vine leaves surrounding it. And then one day, me and my younger sibling decided to venture up on top of it. We climbed that ladder and struggled to turn that doorknob. As an older sister, of course, I made her go first. What we saw up top was unsettling. But of course, we made a reason that was rational for it. But in hindsight, it was anything but. We saw blankets folded into a bed, a pillow, old antique tools such as a machete, a bow and arrow. Now, of course, it very well could have been one of those old foster kids making a hideout. We forgot about it, and I ended up using that little room for a storage room for bags of clothes I never wore, and things I never wanted to unpack. However, it's with this attic it all begins. You see, I would lay there every night in bed and hear howling sounds and creaking coming from the attic. Now, of course, that part of Alberta where we live, there are, of course, seriously strong winds. However, every night is not just a coincidence, especially with the fact of the noises increasing every night. Small wind noises to moving furniture around. Now, of course, I never mentioned anything to my family members because I knew I would have been mocked and made fun of. Until one night. It was weeks into us living there, and me and my younger brother decided to go exploring, as you do at that age. A little rebellious, we decided to go into those sheds and have a snoop. There were some cool old magazines, newspapers and documents from decades ago. We decided to open this old, dusty box, and we found a huge fabric bag full of hundreds of marbles. So we decided to take that bag of marbles and bring it to the family to make a game out of. Since they were probably pretty old and there were so many of them, of course, we asked the landlord and he was perfectly fine with it, as he would never even know they were there. A few days went on with the bag of marbles sitting on the living room table until my mum was cleaning up and yelled at me to get rid of them. So I took them upstairs and I stored them in my attic room. The following night, I was tossing and turning, trying to fall asleep, when I hear a new noise coming from above me. Marbles rolling across the attic floor. I froze, but the fear made me jump up and run in to sleep with my sister that night. Another thing to note is the door to go into the attic is very difficult to open. You have to twist and pull it in many different ways in order for the latch to go. The activity from then started to pick up with frequency. I'd come home from school and the attic door would be wide open. No one had been home since I'd last left after everyone had gone to work or school. I was the only one to ever go into the room. I started making sure it was latched properly, slamming it, wiggling the doorknob to make sure, just to come back to my room hours later and it being opened. One night, after everything began going downhill, I was home alone in my room on my phone, and down the hall from mine and my sister's room, her TV suddenly turned on, full volume, playing the theme song to the show Full House. Another thing to note is we don't have cable. We all had our own consoles connected to our TVs to watch Netflix, etc. So in order to get Netflix, you needed to switch over to HDMI. Basically, what I'm trying to say is there was no actual way how that could have happened. I brought it up with my family that night at dinner, and my mum mentioned that she notices strange things around the house when she's alone and we're at school. She said she hears heavy footsteps walking up and down the stairs. And when she cleans, she notices the basement door being opened, as well as cupboard doors. During the days that followed until we moved out, doors would slam shut without any windows being opened. Things would move and disappear. TVs would turn to static. Lights would flicker and be turned on and off randomly. I can't even quite remember when in the timeline this event takes place, but I want to let you know that this is the part where the story gets quite gruesome. A trigger warning for anyone who may be sensitive, particularly with animal cruelty. Okay, guys, I need to talk to you about money. Why? Well, it's high on my agenda at the moment as I'm looking to move not just house, but country. So I have a money goal that I'm really striving to achieve. And let's just say, to say I've got some way to go is an understatement. But I'm trying not to fixate on where my money is now, because so many people are focused on where their money is today. Acorns is the financial wellness app that cares about where your money's going tomorrow. And something I think is wonderful that Acorns have is the Acorns Potential Screen, so you can find out what your money is capable of. You guys know I've worked with Acorns for a while, and the reason I love working with them is because they take away the scare factor from investing. But in reality, investment and investing should mean the same for one person as it does for the next. Acorns is a smart way to give your money a chance to grow. It's easy. You can sign up in minutes and start automatically investing your spare money, even if all you've got is spare change. Acorns is an all-in-one. No more finance apps cluttering up your phone. With Acorns, you can invest, save, and give your money a chance to grow in one trusted place. Sign up now and Acorns will boost your new account with a $5 bonus investment. Join the over 14 million all-time customers who've already saved and invested over $27 billion with Acorns.
Paid on client endorsements. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 2 compensation provided. Potential subject to various factors such as customers' accounts, age, and investment settings. Does not include Acorns fees. Results do not predict or represent the performance of any Acorns portfolio. Investment results will vary. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/darkparanormal.
Let me tell you guys something from experience. Beginning your own business or company is terrifying. And sometimes it's not the money, it's not the finances, it's the what ifs. What if your big idea is only big to you? What if no one buys? And although making that leap was one of the best choices I ever made, how I wish there was something like Shopify for podcasters to help make that transition easier. What if I get stuck? Well, Shopify is always around to share advice with their award-winning 24/7 customer support. Get started with your own design studio. With hundreds of ready-to-use templates, Shopify helps you build a beautiful online store that matches your brand style. And get the word out like you've got a marketing team behind you. Easily create email and social media campaigns wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling. Shopify is the commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world and 10% of all e-commerce in the US. From household names like Heinz and Mattel to brands just getting started. It's time to turn those what-ifs into... with Shopify today. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/darkparanormal. Go to shopify.com/darkparanormal. That's shopify.com/darkparanormal.
We had gotten a dog and we rescued him from these terrible breeders. He was quite shy, but a perfect farm dog. He was a big breed. An adult male Bernese mountain dog. He didn't come inside, but we had the perfect doghouse in one of the paddocks, right behind the house. It protected him from the wind or any predators like coyotes, which he may have come into contact with. It was his place, and he knew he could find food, water, and a nice warm place to sleep. I took care of this dog. We kept extra straw in the doghouse for him to keep warm. I'd replace that every few days, twice a day, making sure he had enough food and water, and just making sure he was okay and around, and was not in any danger. The last couple of days before he went missing is when I started creating a bond with him. Every day I would go out to his paddock. He would slowly come up to me and say hi, and he would just hang out for a bit before adventuring off like he loved to do. The thing to know about him, however, is that we always kept track on him, and he never wandered out of our property. So when he went missing, I searched every square inch of our land and more. I yelled out his name, treats in hand, and every place I knew he used to love to be. I checked multiple times, multiple days, for 2 weeks straight. No sign of him. He never touched his food nor water, never laid in his doghouse, nothing. Until... that day. my mum got a call. It was our landlord. She did not put it on speaker, but her phone was loud enough for me to overhear the conversation. He'd found our dog, decapitated behind the barn, his collar placed beside him, head unattached and missing. My mum became hysterical. I can remember the look on her face. She grew pale and started to cry heavily, shaking violently, before she removed herself from the kitchen and walked upstairs to finish the call. I'm not sure what was said after that, but those few sentences I did hear, I grew unsteady. I know for a fact I checked behind that barn countless times each day, and he was nowhere to be found. The next day, she ventured behind the barn to check on some bottle-fed calves, ones we were taking care of, and to grab the collar, to keep for him as he was part of the family. Now, my mum never told me exactly what happened, but she told us not to go behind the barn for the next few days. Knowing what I did, I didn't want to. What happened or could have happened has never been brought up or mentioned since that day. After that incident, we had chickens, cats, birds, rabbits, all showing up around the property. Deceased. Other than the sounds in the attic and the frequently strategically placed animals, activity, ironically, seemed to die down for a while. That's until one night, probably around October sometime. We'd all gotten quite a bit of snow, and it was getting really dark, really early. It was after dinner sometime, pitch black outside, and my mum took some garbage out to the burning barrel. It was probably about 10 feet from the front door. She put on her slippers and walked outside, and she ran back in seconds later, frantically and hysterically. She was completely out of breath, but managed to let us know that something had chased her back inside. My older brother ran upstairs to grab the shotgun. We looked out at the front door with our faintly dim porch light to see nothing but the small black garbage bag halfway from our porch to the barrel. When she caught her breath, she finally told us what happened. She said once she'd put her first step outside and began to walk towards the burning bin, she heard heavy, deliberate steps following fast behind her. She thought in her mind she was being chased by an animal. Maybe one of the cows had got out. Her heart was in her mouth as she ran back towards the home. The next morning, we went to investigate in the daylight. We walked around the entire front, sides and back of the porch and the house. And the only footsteps that we saw were my mum's. We were extra careful that night and never, ever went outside in the dark unless absolutely necessary. Now, this was the final incident that happened. Because after this one, as you might have guessed, we packed up and found a house to rent as soon as possible inside of the town. This was the last straw. My mum worked at the saloon in town, about 12 kilometres away from the house. So the hours she worked varied depending on how busy it was there. They had a live band playing that night and she was bartending. so she was going to be working late. I was the only one awake in the house, and since it was around maybe 1:30 a.m., I decided to venture downstairs to the kitchen for a midnight snack. I opened the fridge and saw a brand new snack-sized salad. Since it was not mine, I decided to text my mum and to ask if I could have it. While waiting for her to respond back to me, I leaned upon the counter with my back towards the basement door. When I heard faint whispers of my name being called. Not one. Not just one voice. At least three. I was frantically texting my mum, asking if she was outside, maybe with some co-workers. She replied, "No, I'll be home in about an hour." I was spamming her phone, telling her she needed to get home because something was wrong. And that is when the most terrifying experience of my life took place. The way I like to describe the feeling I had was when in the movies you see someone about to faint. They get a sudden rush of heat. They lose their vision to dizziness and their ears start to ring. That's exactly the experience I had. I started sweating. I soaked through my clothes. The voices started faintly turning into ringing and my visions went black. That's the last thing I remember. I woke up from the floor, I don't even know how much longer later, to a bleeding nose, ringing ears and a serious headache. I do not recall the rest of that night, just waking up, wiping my nose to a pool of blood, and that was that. I never slept alone or could even be in that house alone again after that, not until we moved. To this day, my mum explains the experience I had to, "You fainted because of anxiety. You probably had a sudden drop in blood pressure." She said this, even though she herself had paranormal experiences in that house. She brushed them off. She found any excuse or explanation possible, other than what we knew was there. I do have anxiety, always have, but I've never come close to fainting due to it before. Part of me knows it was a paranormal experience, but I don't like to think of it that way. I never asked any of my siblings about their experiences, because we all tend to ignore everything that happened in that house. But I still feel a connection to it. Every time I drive past it on the highway, in the distance I can see my bedroom, and I instantly get that feeling. The feeling something is watching you. When you know it's there and the hair on the back of your neck stands up. I think most of the things that happened in that house were unexplainable. That presence you knew was there, but you could never just prove it. I sound crazy when I tell my story, and people joke about me being possessed or getting possessed. And although I do feel a connection to that house, without having been there in 4 years, I do not feel any energy and don't think of the farmhouse that often. However, after my experience, I did become a very superstitious person. It's Kev here now, and in relation to the farmhouse, technically, that's where the submitter's experience ends. But this kind of coda added at the end, I'm unsure whether it's all linked together or it's a separate incident altogether. You guys let me know. And indeed, the submitter, the voices and whispers named you Stacy, but unfortunately our team haven't sent across your actual name, so we went with Stacy as a placeholder. If you want your name to be acknowledged, let me know and I will read it out next week. And also let me know if you believe the following is linked to the farmhouse. So, in our submitter's words, I continue. I'm an adult now and recently moved into a rented home with my boyfriend. It is small and only one story. However, recently, I've been having sleep paralysis. This is a completely new experience for me, and only ever happens when I'm alone. The first time it happened, my boyfriend was out of town for work. It was only one night. I'd fallen asleep with no issues. However, the dream I had was horrifying. It was dark and I was running from something in the back alley of my house, horrified, trying to get inside through my back door, and when I did, something shifted. The energy from the dream became different. The house was pitch black, and when I walked into the hallway towards my bedroom, I noticed the door was cracked open. I walked inside to see myself laying there, sound asleep. I saw myself. I came back to a yelling voice at me in my head to wake up, and when I did, I noticed my eyes had already been open, and I was gasping for air. It's only happened two more times, not as serious as that, nevertheless, still terrifying. Yet I sleep like a baby when my boyfriend's next to me. The dreams I keep having have inspired me more to share my experience with you. I apologize again if the timeline seems to jump a little. My memory of this house seems a bit fuzzy as I did live there for many months, and it wasn't all just paranormal experiences. Thank you for taking the time to read over my story, and I hope you can share it with your other listeners, as I would love to get some perspective. I'm interested to know if the dreams have anything to do with the farmhouse or not. Also, let me know if you'd like me to talk to my family and see if they've had any experiences in that house they've never shared. Thanks again, Kevin. Anonymous. Or maybe not anonymous. As I say, if you do want your name to be known, please do let us know. And as you all know the answer to the questions by now, yes, we undoubtedly want you to ask each and every one of your family if they have any tales of your farmhouse. Well, whoever you are, submitter, and I apologize if you gave your name in and wanted it read out, we will rectify that if you let us know. But it's very rare that I read an experience in this format, and now this sounds ridiculous, and I appreciate it does, but it feels like I'm not alone, and it grows as I go through the experience. And I'd like to say, oh, it's explainable, it's 11 p.m, it's really dark. It's not. It's the afternoon. The room's filled with sunlight. Children are playing outside in the street. It's a lovely spring day. It's not so lovely in this studio right now, I can tell you. And what it is, I can't name. I use the word qualia quite often, a word to mean something you can't describe. And this is a definite qualia. So thank you, submitter, for giving me a tangible experience through the written word. And that's the power of your experiences. So when you have your own, or if you have your own personal paranormal experience that you've been sitting on and thinking maybe the show doesn't want it, we do. I do not care if it's a paragraph, a sentence, 17 pages. We want your experience as I have said before, because we want this to become the home of an archive of this generation's dark paranormal experiences. As we end, a huge thank you to basically our co-producers, our Patreon team. Now, our Patreon team is something that blows me away. Not simply because they're members of Patreon, they are a community that in and of themselves have built a community within Patreon. And it blows my mind. It's filled with some of the most like-minded, polite, and accepting people you will ever meet within the paranormal sphere, and that's coming from someone who spent 30 years trawling paranormal internet forums, joining them, and then seeing hierarchy and toxicity. None of that exists on our Patreon. And if you choose to sign up to Patreon, there are three levels. The first level, you receive your episodes ad-free. Next, you receive them ad-free and early, before anyone else, including debuts and finales. And finally, you can receive early ad-free releases and two additional shows each and every week of the year, both at least 30 minutes in length, one named Dark Bites, which is made up of the shorter submissions we cannot place on a full episode due to length. The other, me to camera, unedited, 30 minutes with the camera rolling non-stop, as you get a vision of what goes on in my mind when I try to theorize what we've discussed that week may have come from. And those episodes are very revealing, sometimes. Sometimes they're not at all. But that is the thrill of just hitting record, sitting yourself in front of a video camera, and talking whatever comes into your brain about those topics. And it's an experience, believe me, as the person doing it. That show's called After Dark. So if you wish to have access to Dark Bite and its entire 200 plus hour catalogue to listen to or binge through, head to the show notes and you'll find the link for Patreon, or go direct to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. And also to submit your experience, the link again is in the show notes, or go to thedarkparanormal.com and click on Submit My Experience. One final thing, because I appreciate not everyone is in the financial situation to afford Patreon. I get that, and I wouldn't expect you to stretch your pennies to do so. But, and I ask this of everyone, if you'd be so kind to simply hit that subscribe button where you are right now, that helps the show immensely. Also, leaving us a nice review with a few stars attached wouldn't do any harm either. They're both free things that you can do to help this show keep going and help us to continue bringing you the darkest stories out there we can find. But until next time, remember, when you're discussing the paranormal, always leave some of your disbelief at the door. And I'll speak to you all next time, right here, on The Dark Paranormal.